This week, So What Do We Do is sponsored by Fact Zero. Our friends are back.
Yeah, our friends Fact Zero, where you can send free faxes to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, including to your elected representatives or your friends.
If you go to factzero.com, do you have friends that have fax machines, Storm?
What's that?
Do you have friends that have fax machines that you can send faxes to?
Yeah, I've got a whole network of my fax buddies. It's like you used to have pen pals.
Yeah.
Now you have fax buddies, and they all live in 1982.
It's a time travel related friend group. That's awesome.
It's amazing. It's like a Ouija board, but it's just a fax machine, and yet you can communicate not with the dead, but the differently alive. I actually found myself once, and it was astounding.
That sounds amazing. Anyway, as we were saying, FaxZero.com has easy links to freely and simply fax the people who represent you. You know, you may not have a fax machine, but your Congress people do, and they will read the faxes you send them. Maybe even easier to get in touch with them that way than on the phone.
That's right. They absolutely do use them, and it solves the problem because none of us generally have fax machines. And you can send 5 faxes a day. Up to 3 pages each. You can get a lot. You can get a lot of your thoughts into 3 pages for free. And if you want to go all out on faxes, maybe it doesn't fit in 3 pages. You can choose to pay $1.99 per fax beyond that free amount. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much, FaxZero.com.
And now the podcast.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello, and welcome to So What Do We Do?
I'm Storm, the guy who didn't bother thinking of anything clever for this segment today.
I'm Angel Laser, and I'm in New York City. I'm in New York City, Storm. New York City.
Yeah, you've been bouncing around the country and doing your thing and making people happy at shows.
Yeah, that's what I do. It's actually, we just wrapped the Double Clicks tour and it was amazing. Probably the best tour we've ever done. It was just so emotional, but everybody was so positive. It was really, really nice. I feel like we all kind of need each other more than ever now. So I really appreciated that experience. It made me feel very good.
Yes, your show in Vienna, Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C., I felt it, and I think that's very true. Felt it for the first time not too long after the election at Jean Gray's church that she does up in Brooklyn, where it means so much to be in a physical space together with other people who are feeling what you're feeling, thinking what you're thinking. I mean, this is good. I feel connected to you, Angel Laser, and to you who are listening right now. But being in a physical space is pretty special.
It is. It feels good. It feels good. Right now I'm in New York at my dad's apartment overlooking the city. I can see the Empire State Building, which is a building.
I was gonna ask if you lived at the top of the Empire State Building, but that would preclude that.
Right. He lives at the Empire State Building, and then there's a giant mirror right outside. So I can see the Empire State Building from the Empire State Building. It's kind of amazing.
You know, if you'd have to do that because as great it would be to live at the top of the Empire State Building, it would suck not to be able to see it.
It's the challenge of life, you know. You make the art you can't enjoy. Tom Cruise can't enjoy Tom Cruise, as the song goes.
You can have the Empire State Building, but you can't eat it too.
That's beautiful. Would you like to hop into the news at this point in the podcast?
There is so much news and, God, so much news. Every week it seems like it's like a year is a week.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna rip through it fairly quick because so much has happened and I don't want everybody to get too down. I'm sure you must have some really strong offsets this week.
Yeah, well, my internet crashed, so I'm gonna improvise a version of what I was going to do, but it's gonna be great.
All right, that's the best.
Yeah.
Here we go. Not necessarily in chronological order. The first I've headed as transgression, which is Trump and the administration announcing their transgender ban in the military.
Right.
I'm sure we've all heard about this, where the significance beyond the fact of it, where effectively it's up to the military commanders to decide case by case, you know, you're in, you're out. And I think this is the first direct assault on human rights in this way, that it's a direct subjugation of U.S. citizens. That is, I use the word subjugation deliberately and in its true meaning, that now there are U.S. citizens who are subject to the whims very directly by the government. And as horrifying as it is just on its own, that there's another level to it where I don't know, don't like to throw around the word evil, because I know that there are people who genuinely believe that this is the right thing to do. But I genuinely believe that it is not. So that's our first item.
Yeah. Now, I've been reading a little bit about this, and it seems like this seemed to be kind of like a weirdly unilateral choice, not supported necessarily by the experts you would think would be the person who would be consulted on that, which makes it even wackier. Yeah.
No one who knows anything about how people and organizations operate, including the military, think this is a good idea or want it. It's purely ideological. Nothing is a distraction with this information, this administration. Nothing is a distraction with this administration, but they certainly do things at certain times in order to play shell game. They mean this. You know, it's a part of the base that wants to see this, and for its own sake, and also because it pisses all of us off. You know, they like that. Mm-hmm. Which is a little sad to me. But yeah, no one thinks this is actually a good idea. No.
All right. Well, let us do our offset this week. I thought this week, so a couple weeks ago we started writing YA novels, and I thought that was really fun. So I like making things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this week I would give you the title of a movie, and we would kind of build the first scene just sort of it, or the premise of the movie, whichever feels better. So I have a bunch of titles from the 2007 Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, sure. I know none of those, I think.
Okay.
So that's good.
So let's begin with the movie called Ask the Insects. How does this movie open, Storm?
Exterior, suburban street, daytime. Mm-hmm. There is what at first looks like a lemonade booth. But upon closer inspection, is more of an info booth like Lucy Van Pelt had in Charlie Brown cartoons, Peanuts cartoons. And the craziest thing of all, as you inspect this,
is that the booth is manned by a giant ant, a human-sized ant, wearing the same dress that Lucy wears in the Charlie Brown cartoons.
And there is a roach that looks somewhat like Pigpen that approaches the ant that looks somewhat like Lucy Van Pelt because of said dress. And he says,
"It happened again, Lucy. It keeps happening." And then the ant looks back and says, and just looks right into the camera and says, "Oh, bother." And then we go to black and the credits roll. And that's the beginning of Ask the Insects.
That is no wonder that won Sundance in 2007.
Yeah, it was really good. It's a Canadian movie, obviously.
Yep, Canadian snow. Sorry.
All right, let's do another news.
All right, you might have to bleep this one in post.
Okay.
This block of news is called Sheriff Fuckface.
Mm.
All right. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard about this.
Oh, God, yeah.
You, Angelazer, and dear listener, Sheriff Joe Arpaio was pardoned. Now, very quick sketch of why this is a cuckoo thing that should have, that why this is a cuckoo thing that happened is that Sheriff Joe was a favorite of the what I think of as the wackier, more hateful right.
Yeah,
he was in charge of this Arizona county's jails. The things that sheriffs do, particular brutality, many more people died in his jails, either through neglect or shrug, who knows from what. But what he was brought up on was racial profiling of the Latino community in the name of rooting out illegal immigration. And it was found that that this was being done. It was unconstitutional. And he was sentenced for, or I guess they didn't get to sentencing. He was convicted of that. Mm-hmm. And it was still going through appeals. And Trump just decided, you know, go ahead and pardon you. You're pardoned. You're off the hook. So it's not only terrible in and of itself because he has let off the hook this very horrible person who did horrible unconstitutional things, but it undercuts the judiciary and its role. And there are also there's some thinking this is part of a tactical move to try to undermine the Mueller investigation of the Russia stuff.
Oh.
The reason being, yes, this is sort of this is not, you know, 18-dimensional chess. It's playing your cards well and breaking the rules to try to get what you want. The thinking is Mueller, one of the tools that an investigator has is to flip people who were involved with the bad stuff to get them to give you more information and to sell out other people, hopefully people higher than them.
Uh-huh.
And by Trump demonstrating that he'll just pardon anyone no matter what, and no, what are you going to do about it? You're not going to do anything. And if nobody does anything, that could send a signal to these people who are being investigated and questioned that, hey, don't worry. You clam up, I'll take care of you. It's a basic mob move. And rules don't exist to prevent this because no one ever expected there would be a president, the executive in this country, that would be so faithless and self-serving that they would manipulate it this way. So that's the greater context. And just today, and today is Tuesday, August 29, it came out that Trump had actually asked his Attorney General, Jeff, not a Klan supporter, Sessions, if he could do this. And Sessions said, no, man, it's a really bad idea. Don't do that. So the positive spin on this is that he's grasping at straws, but pulling out all the stops, doing anything he possibly can to try to save his bacon. So that is Sheriff Fuckface.
My goodness. Let's just write another movie. Let's make the world better.
I'm into it. What's happened at Sundance in 2007?
This movie is called Everything's Cool.
Yeah. Everything's cool.
How does this movie start, Storm?
All right. Open. Interior. Darkness.
Ooh.
Place unknown. Time unknown. A young girl is shivering and says to herself, "Where the heck am I?" A glint of light appears before her, blinding, white, sterile. As her eyes adjust, she looks to her left, and she sees an egg carton.
Oh.
And ketchup. And realizes she's sitting on a shelf of some sort. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going?
Okay, yeah. The blinding light fades slightly as her eyes adjust, and she sees a bear who has opened the door to a refrigerator where she is sitting. And the bear says, "Oh, you woke up."
And the girl says, "Well, yeah, but I know I came into your house because, like, I just wanted to get some sleep. But it's, why did you put me in the fridge?"
Suddenly, the bear's wife gets home and says, "Oh, good, you found dinner." And the girl shrieks and runs away. And that begins our cool chase sequence opening credits for Everything is Cool.
Everything is Cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a funny movie. Like, it's good. It's, like, a little scary, but it's mostly funny. And the bear is the bears learn to love.
Yeah, it's like if you mixed like a British farce with Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Down with Love. Mm-hmm. And a furry convention. That's kind of what they were going for.
Yeah, it's all very positive and
oh yeah,
inclusive. And mm-hmm. I recommend watching it.
Yeah, it's my favorite movie. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. What can you do for us now with the news?
All right. This one's all right. Sort of. I'm calling this Hot and Cold Running Nazis.
Okay.
The action this past week for this is that Sebastian Gorka has joined Steve Bannon in no longer being inside the White House.
Yeah.
Some debate of if he resigned or let go or if he was ever really an employee to begin with. But he was sure a hateful MRFer who had influence in the White House, and he's not there anymore. It's not necessarily a cause for a big celebration, maybe a small one. Maybe, you know, you'll look at a beer, but maybe not drink it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there's most certainly, and even if Trump were to disappear out of the White House tomorrow, there are still people who are quite intent on continuing to break the government and society with this Gorka fella being one of them. He's the one who has ties to a direct Nazi sympathizing group in Hungary, which traces its lineage directly to the Nazis. So when people talk about there being Nazis in the White House, literal Nazis are usually talking about Gorka. So, you know, these folks are still out there. They're smart enough to know how to make trouble. It's much easier to break things than build things. And along with this, I'm appending that the UN issued an early warning, which is, I guess, a term of art for them, an actual thing, about the alarming racism in the United States, focused on the president's refusal to reject discrimination. So Bannon and Gorka are gone. But of course, the real root of this is the guy who sits in the fancy chair in the Oval Office. So that's what we got there. So,
yeah, we had somebody tweeted at us. Dave Dowds tweeted at us because there were people like looking for a list of all the people who have resigned from or left the administration. And then there are good lists on Business Insider and CNBC. There are people tracking this stuff, which is really great. Thank you for sending us that question, Dave, I guess is the end of that.
But yeah.
It's an interesting
totally.
Time.
Yeah, I've stopped tracking in heavy detail, and I never tracked so much detail as to jot down all the names. But yes, I feel like now that the press, the regular press, is doing a very good job. They have turned their resources on these issues and
yeah.
are, I think, a big part of what is enabling people to combat the terrible icky ick.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, we have a movie to write, Storm.
Yeah.
And the movie is called How Is Your Fish Today?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'll start this time.
Yep.
We begin zoomed in on it seems creepy, on the eye of a fish. Mm-hmm. And we zoom out. The fish is alive. He's swimming in the ocean. And then we'll pan up above, and we are in a busy city
mm-hmm.
On the ocean. And, yep.
I'm sorry, a busy what on the ocean?
A busy city right on the ocean. And then a popular song starts playing. What song is it, Storm?
Hey, can you play another Somebody Done Somebody's Fish Wrong? That one, everybody loves that.
Somebody's Done Somebody's Fish Wrong starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that song is actually coming out of a radio sitting right next to a little boy who is fishing. And he gets a tug on his line and he says, "Oh boy, finally, the last fish of the day, and after this I can go home."
Mm-hmm. And then he pulls it up. To his surprise, the fish is not caught on his hook, but the fish is just sort of casually hanging on to the line. He's got his fin on the hook.
Yeah.
And he's a really dapper fish. My God, is that guy dapper. And he's singing the song. And then he stops when he sees the boy and looks at him. He says, "Hey, how's your fish?"
And the boy says, "Today?" And the fish says, "Yeah." And then the fish says, "Would you like to borrow my tie for the big event tonight?"
And the boy says, "Yeah, you're my fish."
And that's the first scene of How Is Your Fish Today?
Yeah, that one touched so many people's and fish's lives.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a movie from the UK, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's like Stuart Little, right?
Yep.
That was the UK. It's like sure. that, you know. That's why Michael J. Fox did the voice in that outrageous Cockney accent.
Yeah.
"I love me family, even though I'm a mouse." It's my favorite scene.
It's a very good movie. I loved the book Stuart Little when I was a kid.
Never read it.
Oh, yeah? I mean, there were a lot of rodent-related books going around in the early 90s.
It was a long tradition. There was Watership Down.
Yeah.
Secret of Nim. Mm-hmm. There was
Redwall.
Ratface. Yep, yep. There was a Ben. That wasn't a book, but a movie with a Michael Jackson song. There was the giant green mouse of Amsterdam. There was
giant green mouse of Amsterdam?
I'm starting to make up titles.
I remember that one. I was just making sure that I heard you correctly.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Of course. Of course, we all know the giant green mouse of Amsterdam.
Yeah. His name is Doug, I think.
Yes. Well, in the original Dutch, it's Doug. In the translation, it comes out as Steve.
Yeah. Which is weird. It's weird how that works.
Right. You wouldn't think Doug would be a Dutch name, yet it is. Or they'd need to translate it. But there you have it. Are we ready for some more horrifying news?
I think so.
All right. I'm going to conflate these two things because everything kind of fits together now.
Okay.
First one I'm titling A Song of Smoke and Fire. And this is Russia and the Mueller probe. I'm just going to sum up because, honestly, the details don't matter very much until they're all knit together and thrown out at once. But the main thing is that Mueller continues to hunch in closer and closer. Stuff is starting to leak out, possibly because the rats are jumping the ship and trying to save their own bacons. I know, I mixed a metaphor. It's cool. It's cool. It'll probably be fine.
Rat bacon. But, they hoard it.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's
That was
terrible.
In the movie, Don't, Doug.
Yes, that was sort of a side quest. the famous bacon scene. But the one big item is that the main thing is that the connections between Trump and Putin keep getting closer, not so much that they're actually kissing, but it's laughable at this point to say that Trump did not have financial interests or ambitions with Russia, and they were in play even during the campaign. There were at least attempted contacts, and that's where that is. And I'm going to conflate that with that GOP leaders, including Paul Ryan, John McCain, Jeff Flake, and even some people in the administration, including Secretary of State Tillerson and Defense Secretary Mattis, seem to be trying to put some distance between themselves and the president. Not full-throated denunciations, and that Trump is hitting back at them, even though those people are not going so far as to directly name the president in things like supporting white supremacy and Nazis. But it's at least shows that behind the scenes, even folks that are not on the true Looney Tunes right, but more center right, see this as not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. So that's that block.
Gotcha.
And what's happening in 2007?
Well, I ran out of movies that I am not worried about them being sad. So I'm going to give you a title that is a board game that I got that I think would make a great movie, which is, it's called Terraforming Mars.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yes, it's unlike what it sounds like. It's about a kid who was born in South Detroit.
Yep.
in 1963.
Yep.
To parents who just loved science fiction.
Yeah.
And this little boy, who of course was orphaned at the age of one, was named Terraforming Mars.
Yeah, his friends call him Terrence. And the movie follows his story as he wants to become a letterer for comic books.
Which he achieves after a fashion. His first job is at the public utility.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask him to put up safety warnings on all of the nozzles in the city.
Yep.
And he designs the form as a comic. But he's not a comic artist. He does lettering. So
he takes pictures of people out of magazines and then pastes them onto pieces of paper and then makes his own little sort of collage comics where he has very clear, beautiful writing next to pictures he has taken out of magazines and catalogs.
This saves the city. And years later, the band Journey writes a song about him, and he is the boy referenced in Don't Stop Believing, who was born and raised in South Detroit.
The end.
The end.
Terraforming Mars. It's a great movie.
Yeah, Terrence is the best.
He's so good. Played by a young Idris Elba.
Yes. Yes, that performance was gripping.
Yeah.
Gripping. All right, I'm going to close out with one kind of good thing and two really horrifying ones.
All right.
What do you want first? Do you want a sandwich? Do you want the good thing last? Do you want the good thing first?
Let's take a sandwich.
Yeah, sandwich time. All right. First terrible thing. Trump rescinds Obama's restriction on the transfer of surplus military style equipment to local police departments, which was done in the wake of Ferguson, where among all people who know anything about law enforcement and are actually officials or experts in same said, yeah, you know what? The fact that they showed up with, I don't know, grenade launchers and tanks probably added to the environment that that created chaos.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to really amount to anything. But when you have protesters being villainized and Trump very clearly wanting to play up the strength thing, you know, at least in his mind, I think he would love for the military to crack down. So not something to be at all panicked about, but one of those things that makes you go, really, dude, come on, don't do that. So that's horrible thing number one.
Yeah.
Kind of good thing is that in the wake of Charlottesville, there are a number of white supremacist rallies that have been canceled because of swelling numbers of counter demonstrators. And I'm talking about the ordinary you and me people who just, you know, and from both sides, I don't even say both sides, but from all stripes, there are religious leaders who are also very pissed off about this, that ordinary yous and me's are getting out there, and ultimately that's what beats it back is not beatings, but the fact that overwhelming numbers of people just saying, no, that's not us. We have our differences. But those of us who believe in society far outnumber folks who are trying to troll it. So that's the non-horrible silver lining-y thing.
That's good.
And the last news item, which is, I think, gotten a little lost in all of the hubbub, because there's been so much hubbub, and there have been articles in this just in the past couple of days highlighting this trend, that the Trump administration has really been accelerating full-on censorship of climate change from government agencies, documents, and public presences.
Yeah.
So just actively any mention of it is being scrubbed, and That's, of course, horrible for its own right that, hey, especially in the wake of what's happening in Houston, I don't mean to not talk about that. I think everyone is aware, and you can't trace a straight line with climate change, but maybe you can.
Yeah.
And beyond that, just the fact of that literal government censorship in the face of facts and threatening people's jobs over it as well. So that's our sandwich of good and terrible things.
Wow. Do you want to make one more movie?
We got to.
Okay, this movie is called The Last Dining Table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It is the year 2223.
Ooh.
And humanity has lost its mouths.
Oh.
The atmosphere was befouled, and sort of like in Snowpiercer, countermeasures were deployed to correct it. The bad news is it made the atmosphere unbreathable. The good news is it made it into this sort of soup by which people could get their oxygen and nutrients. That's your setting.
Yeah. This movie follows the story of someone who feels they were born to be a waiter, mm-hmm. but don't know what that is because nobody eats anymore. They just really want to wear an apron and take people's orders and bring them food. And so they build, based on like historical documents and in old movies, they build a small restaurant with one table and try to figure out how food works.
The village folk, when it is opened, are horrified and turn on our protagonist.
Yeah.
And they are cast out from the village, mm-hmm. but they take the table with them.
They take the table.
Heard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They take the table with them into the wilderness where they meet a bunch of animals who still have mouths, like hippos and tigers.
Which are all much, much smaller than they are today.
Yeah, exactly, because of the climate change. And our protagonist, the whole movie is shot in first person, so it's very dizzying, but we also never see our protagonist. But they try to create various types of foods for the animals and eventually start a private supper club just for tiny hippos and lions.
The experimenting with food preparation montage is timeless. It's like, imagine the piano scene from Big where they're jumping on the piano keys.
Yes.
But with tiny animals and food. That's the soul of this movie.
And it's beautiful, and that's why it won so many awards.
Yeah. Congratulations, awesome Sundance movie called The Last Table.
Yeah.
Dining Table. Last Dining Table.
Oh, boy. Let's take a little bit of a break and then come back with some serving suggestions and so on.
Yeah. Woo! It's hard work.
It is. We're back. Thanks for talking to me, Storm. We got to see each other in real life the other day. That was really nice, huh?
Yeah, it was super special. Like, it's so fun because we do this every week, and it's fun. But then when you meet in person, it's like crossover episodes of sitcoms where it's all the more fun because you get to do things like a show or go to a diner, which you can't do. We're sitting here and yeah, sure, you can have a drink of water. I can eat a mozzarella stick, but it's not the same as doing it in the same place.
It's not the same at all. It isn't.
It's not the same.
No, but it was really cool to be out in the world. I guess I just want to talk about that for a second. I recommend it. I've had a really hard time wanting to do anything recently. And that was really nice to just remember that there are people living their lives and making stuff, and there's a lot more positive stuff than than you even really think about going on. So that's awesome.
Let's make that our first serving suggestion for the day. Is within 2 days, if not today. You might be listening to this at midnight, and you might not want to go out at midnight. Within 2 days, get out in the world and just do something. You know, and it's something you like to do. Maybe you're just walking to the grocery store. Maybe you're walking in a park. Maybe you're not walking at all. Maybe you're, I don't know. You tell me. What do you do?
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. I think that's great that you do that. Do that out there.
Yeah. Go to a movie. Go just like look at a person. Go to a store. Go to a game store and be like, look, a person.
Yeah. Go to a game store and look at people. That's all we're trying to say.
That's a normal thing to request that people do. Do you have other serving suggestions, Storm?
I do. I'm following a new philosophy because the things that directly address these horrible things, as I've discussed in prior episodes, but if you haven't, so much of it is out of our hands. And there are things like contacting representatives and senators and showing up in person for protest when it can be effective in a nonviolent way. But most of the time, you just stress. So the new tack is there are always things that you can do to help that in the grand picture will help. And to focus on some of the things that maybe haven't been in the news, because there are direct actions you can take. You'll feel good when you do them, and they will help people. So these come from Pat Rothfuss's Activism newsletter. I think there must be a link up on the place where we put links.
Yes, we can.
How you can get that, because it's amazing. It's terrific. It's both an even better news summary and things that you can do, basically this podcast, but a newsletter. And the first one is to check out CARE, if you don't already know what it is. That's the Council of American Islamic Relations.
C-A-I-R.
C-A-I-R, CARE. And I'm reading directly from the newsletter's explanation because it's terrific. CARE has some amazing guides and toolkits to know your rights and be a community advocate for your Islamic friends and neighbors. And, of course, there are many communities who have been placed greatly at risk, but, you know, our Islamic friends and neighbors are particularly at risk when you have a lot of these laws that are very openly directed at that segment of our country. So check that out. And on their site, you'll also find, if you are inclined to take action, they have just amazing things. And even if you're not taking action, just the awareness is going to help.
Yeah. Awesome. We will have that link in the description of our podcast.
And then one more, which may seem off the mark, but I believe is super important. And again, from the Activism newsletter, it's a website called Battle for the Internet. And this has to do with the rapid de-escalation of ISPs, most especially the Comcasts and Verizons, the really big ones. And the effect that can have on how we experience life. And that might sound dramatic and big, and that's because it could be.
Yeah.
That the internet and how it has been run up to this point has been a de facto open space. And that if you effectively just allow those who have the means of transporting it to dictate what can and can't be, it can get pretty terrible. So check that out. And because that's something that, regardless of what happens with the administration, that can directly affect our lives.
Yeah. Battleforthenet.com. Thank you for recording a podcast with me, Storm.
Thank you, Angela Laser, because this is it's terrific. And thank you for the folks just when I went to your show the other night. A handful came up to thank us for doing this.
Yeah, people at every show that we did on this tour came up and said that they liked the podcast and they appreciate it. So thank you so much. That made me feel very good.
Yes, and that's the truth of it, is that it feels as good to us as it does for you listening. It really does. So thank you, Angela Azer, and thank you for listening.
We've got our Twitter, of course, is So What Do We Do Pod. We have new followers there, including amazing game designer John Harper, thank you, and Janice Hicks and Gail Simone followed us. Thank you for following us. Thank you for tweeting at us. Dave Dowds and Tuesday Bedell. It is awesome to hear from you. You can also find our Facebook group, So What Do We Do podcast on Facebook, and also, of course, sowhatdowedopod.com. We have pictures. We made Aubrey take do a photo shoot with us, so we have pictures of us together. They exist now.
Yeah, and we're having fun.
It was a good old time. We were at a diner, as we said before.
Yeah, and by photo shoot, it was, Aubrey, can you take a picture real quick?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a photo shoot that took probably 90 seconds, but it was great.
Yeah. So, I feel pretty good here. So, yeah, get out there and do the things. Go do things.
We appreciate you. We believe in you. We support you. Thank you so much to Fact Zero for making this podcast happen. Check out factzero.com to send your faxes to your friends from the past and to your representatives so that they don't have to be from the past. They can represent your views right now.
Yeah. Thank you, factzero.com.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.